kind of settle everybody down. And here we are. We pray, God, that you would honor your word. It is truth without error. And you, God, descend on us in a powerful way as we look in the Bible. Help us put ourselves before you and do as you wish in us. For all the relationships that are represented here, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that through today's study, our marriages will be strengthened, our relationships better, and help us have good, strong perspective on what you're looking for in our lives in a relationship. And God, we put ourselves before you. In Jesus' name, we ask you all this. Amen and amen. If you brought your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. We are closing down this series of sermons on someone and some things to hold on to in a culture that offers us nothing to hold on to. And I've entitled our time together, Hold On To Your Marriage. When God created the world, marriage became the foundation of civilization, the foundation of culture, the foundation of society. They're all interconnected. How our society functions and how well or how bad it is, somehow, some way has to do with either the strengthening of the marriage bond or the breakdown of the marriage and the family. Did you hear about 12-year-olds in the news? They are hijacking cars. They're beating up people. And, you know, the question people ask, I hear, is, where are the parents? Why is a 12-year-old doing that? It's all connected to the breakdown of the family, for sure. And so this morning, I want to talk about what God designed as the ideal marriage. Okay? You say, well, I'm not married. Well, maybe you're looking for a husband, or maybe you're looking for a wife. This is what you're looking for in a man or a woman. For your notes, I want you to write down the words mutual submission. Mutual submission. The ideal marriage is one of mutual submission. The husband submits to the wife. The wife submits to the husband. And both the husband and the wife submit themselves to the lordship of Jesus Christ in their lives. It's a matter of total submission. And when people don't understand this, there's a problem. For example, the many times I've preached on wives, be submissive to your husbands, the wife's hair begins to stand up in the back of her neck. She bucks at it. And I become a marked man. But the Bible talks about submissiveness not just for the woman, but submissiveness also for the man. 1 Peter chapter 3. This is chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 7. 1, 2, and 7. This is what Peter wrote. In the same way, you wives must submit yourselves to your husbands. This is from the Good News Translation. So that if any of them do not believe God's word, your conduct will win them over to believe. It will not be necessary for you to say a word, because they will see how pure and reverent your conduct is. In the same way, you husbands, this is verse 7 now, you husbands, in the same way, must give honor to your wives. So when it says in the same way, to understand that, you got to go back to chapter 2. This is chapter 3, the beginning. So when it says in the same way, you got to go back a chapter to find out what are they talking about there, that he's saying in the same way, you got to do the same thing you just heard. So here's chapter 2. Here's chapter 2, verses 21-23. Here's what Peter wrote before he said, wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, in the same way, submit to your wives. So this is what Peter said. He, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, before we talk about marriage, he is your example. And you must follow in his steps. He never sinned, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted at the cross, that is, nor threatened revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. All he's saying here is Jesus showed us how to live. Listen, y'all. Jesus showed us how to live and how to die. If you want to know how to live, you got to look at Jesus. If you want to know how to die, you got to look at Jesus. And so what Peter is saying here is that when Jesus faced the difficult agony, the difficult trial of the cross, he did not retaliate in the insults. He did not fire back when he was in pain. He did not lash out at the people that were accusing him falsely. Instead of manipulating the situation to his advantage, Jesus gave himself up to the will of the Father in heaven. He yielded himself to God the Father. He submitted to the Father in heaven, and then he went on to die on the cross. The reason why we have this glorious salvation of ours is because Jesus submitted himself to God the Father. If he would have said, I'm not doing this no more, we'd be all done and over with. But he submitted, he yielded himself to the Lord. And his will, God's will, was for him to die. And of course, you know that Jesus was blessed after his resurrection and glorified and all kinds of things. But listen, if you're looking at me and watching me or wherever, to YouTube or Facebook, if you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to do that right now. You need to just surrender your heart to Christ. I'm going to give you a chance in just a few minutes to do that. Or somebody here, you say, man, I don't ever remember submitting my life to Jesus Christ. You can do that this morning, okay? So Peter is saying, just like Jesus submitted himself to the Father, we need to imitate him by submitting ourselves to him and then to each other in marriage. Everybody with me on that? Amen. Just three cats said amen. Everybody with me on that? Amen. Okay. So write down in your notes, if you don't mind, imitate Jesus' submissive heart to his heavenly Father. Ladies, let's start with you. Being submissive means to yield, to cooperate with, to go out of your way for the other person. These are synonyms to honoring and yielding, right? Submission. Be respectful, honor, comply, accommodate your life to that of your husbands. That's submissiveness. In God's mind, the submissive behavior of the wife is not about her talking about Jesus a lot. It's about her behavior. Ladies, your husband doesn't need a woman preacher at the house. No guy said amen to that. Every guy is silent. I understand. I understand from the heart right here. I understand. Listen. God is in here. The way you're going to influence your husband is not by words. It's by your actions. By the way you love God. So for your notes, write the words love for God. Your husband will pay attention to your love for God. That means a godly attitude that you need to have. A godly reaction to how he is and what he does, your husband. A godly way of how you help him and how you want to encourage him. And if your husband is not a Christian, he's paying attention to what's happening to your life as a believer. He's wondering what's going on. And the Bible says that God will use your behavior to try to reach him for Jesus. Always remember, for your notes, write this down. Always remember that your husband's salvation is God's job. Your job, ladies, is to plant spiritual seeds, show their love, your love for the Lord, and pray for him and be faithful to God. And this is how it works. This is how Peter puts it. It's very simple. This is a very simple message concerning submission, the wife and the husband. Peter continues. This is from the New American Standard Bible. Okay, so Peter continues. Your adornment, ladies, must not be merely external. Braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses. You know, social media is all about the externals, all about the externals, all about the externals, right? But let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Now, this has been misinterpreted to mean that women should give up on beauty aids. That's not what he's saying. Peter is not saying give up, ladies, on looking good on the outside. In fact, the word cosmos here, when he's talking about adornment, the word cosmos means cosmetics in English, okay? It's where we get our word cosmetics. But the secondary meaning to that, or primary also meaning, is to have things arranged in order. So, this is the way I'm looking at it. By the way, this is opposite to chaos. So in my mind, Peter is saying, ladies, for the sake of your man, don't just do something about whatever chaos is going on here. Slap on some cosmetics. If you're a winter, match the colors. If you're a summer, match the colors. Look good for your man. But more than that, he's saying, be beautiful inside. There's some Christian women who are Jekyll and Hyde. Not at this church, I'm sure. They look good at church, beautiful on the inside and out. But the moment they hit the car on the way out of church, it's like the dark side comes out. So write the word. Everybody's hands down, no elbow, no nothing. Just, we're good. We're cool. Write this down, ladies and gentlemen. Be consistent. You want to be submissive to your man, like the Bible says? Be consistent in making yourself pretty inside and out, day in and day out. This is something you can hold on to, girls. Be consistent. Be beautiful inside and beautiful outside. Peter just adds to this in verses 5 through 6 in the Old Testament. There's an example of this. Look, Peter says, for this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters. If you do what is right and do not give way to fear. And I got to thinking about the story of Abraham and Sarah. I was like, when did Sarah call Abraham her master? Because I didn't remember. When did she say, my master? So I went back to Genesis and read the story of Genesis. Genesis 18 tells us, you know, God had promised Abraham and Sarah that he was going to give them a baby. Now, these people were old. Okay, and God had not fulfilled the promise. But then when Abraham was around 100 years old, and Sarah was around 90 years old, God showed up to Abraham and said, hey, in 9 months, you're going to have a baby with your wife, Sarah. And the Bible says that Sarah, who was inside a tent, was eavesdropping on her husband's conversation with God. And she said to herself, this is not on your notes, but you can check it out later, Genesis chapter 18, verses 5 and 6. I'm sorry, Genesis 18, verse 12. So she laughed silently, Sarah did, when she heard this, to herself and said, how could a worn-out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my master, there it is, right there, when my master, my husband, is also so old. And this is what gets to me. She called her master, called him master in her heart. In her mind. He was the master. That's why she obeyed him. See, it all starts in the mind right here. So ladies, if you're going to be submissive to your husband, it's all a matter of in your mind. You got to understand that the scriptures created marriage. God put it together. And in any corporation, there is the CEO and there's the vice president. And God have made the husbands the CEO and the wives the vice president. But it doesn't mean that one is less than the other. They're all equal. It's just that for something to run effectively, one submits to the authority of the other. Everybody understand that with me? It's tough. These are tough words in today's society. I mean, I thought, I'm going to ask Doreen if she would start calling me master. I know if I say that, first of all, I got to duck because she'd be swinging. She'd come out swinging. But I think knowing her wit and her sense of humor, she may say, I'll call you master when you reach 100 years old. Okay. Let's turn our attention to the men. God says to the husband something you can hold on to. So ladies, that's what you hold on to. You're submissive. You yield yourself to the Lord Jesus. You yield yourself to your husband for his betterment, for his encouragement, for his growth. Peter continues. In the same way, this is verse 7 of chapter 3 of 1 Peter. In the same way, his wife imitates Christ. In the same way, she submits to God's will. In the same way, she honors her husband. In the same way, she puts him first and she yields to him. In that same way, Peter says, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her, God says to us men, as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Ladies, this is the kind of man you're looking for. This is what you want to hold on to in your marriage. Okay, I want you to write this down. This is God's submissive idea for us men to our wives. Make your wife, men, write this down. Feel important and special. The word honor is the word timē in the Greek language. And it means to consider her valuable and precious. See, it's all in the mind. Okay, that's what I'm saying. It all begins in the mind. Men, when you think about your wives, when you think about who God gave you to marry, think of her as valuable and precious. We guys love to take care of the things that we value. If we value our cars really a lot, we'll polish it. We'll make sure there's no dirt in the carpet. And we'll make sure everything looks good. We value what we value. And we take care of what we value. And we protect it. And we restore it. And we polish it. So, man, listen, do the things that your wife is going to consider to make her feel valuable and respected, to make her feel precious and special. Be thoughtful in how you go about with her. I know sometimes we fail. But you and I want to be thoughtful and we want to sacrifice. That's from the Bible. Men need to love their wives the way Jesus loved his church and was willing to die for her. That's what it says in the book of Ephesians. So whereas God says to the wife, hey, be submissive to your husband, God says to the man, die for her. Uh-oh. That's a bigger call right there. So men, what that means is you and I have to be willing to die to the things, to our needs, to whatever we consider important, so that we can make sure that they get what they think is important, and so that they have their needs met. The problem with those men is that we usually start strong. We conquer, yeah. I do, yes. It's done. And as time goes by, we tend to neglect some of the important little things that make it valuable, the marriage. And before you know it, if we neglect it long enough, it all begins to implode, our marriages. When we went out of state on vacation this summer for a few days, I took a gun with me. It's a non-lethal gun called a burnout weapon. And this sucker fires pellets that are have inside of them, they have tear gas and pepper spray, so that when they hit an individual, it explodes. Okay? So I took that with me. We were in Cherokee town. I'll never forget it. We were in Cherokee town. And everyone else was still shopping. I said, I'm going to go to the van, big old van, and I'm going to turn it on for the air conditioner to start running because it's hot and humid. So I went in the van, and for some reason, I decided to check my burner gun that was in my man purse. I carry my burn in my man purse. Well, when I opened up my man purse and I pulled out that bad boy, I saw that it was covered in a powder that looked kind of dirty. And I took my hand and I wiped it. I said, what is going on here? What is this? And I put it in my face. And I immediately started scratching in my throat. And I realized this wasn't baby powder. So what had happened was that a couple of the pellets had exploded in my man purse. And so I immediately ran because I knew I had done something very stupid. I ran to the back of the car. And I found water, and I poured it on my hand, and I washed it like this. And when I saw there was no powder in it, I figured it was all done. And it was hot, so I put it all in my face. Whoa, man, it's hot in here. I even stuck my tongue out on my upper lip. When Amanda, who is the first one back to the van, sees me, I'm like, I think I did something very bad here. She's like, what'd you do? I said, I think I just put tear gas in my face. And in her words, she said, Dad, you went from 0 to 100 in an instant. And all of a sudden, I'm just literal, my face started burning, and my nose, and my tongue, and my eyes, I couldn't see. I'm like, I can't see. And I tried opening my eye. I couldn't see it. I'm like, oh, help me. So Amanda runs back to the car. I'm like, give me the water. Ah! So literally, see, they didn't take any videos because they were so concerned. It would have been a great video to take, I'm sure. It would have gone viral, I'm sure. Because Doreen said the guy next to my car was laughing uncontrollably. As I'm standing outside my van like this, ah, help me, Amanda. So Amanda pushed water on my face, and it's not working. And the sun is making me burn more. I'm like, I'm burning. So she runs to a place, a shop at Cherokee Town, that's making brownies. And of course, Doreen calls my youngest daughter, who's in Europe with my son-in-law, and said, get milk. Well, Amanda goes to get milk, and she pours milk, and I'm opening my eyes literally like this. She's pouring milk, I'm like, ah, ah.
Pero amaos.
I'm sure it happens to everybody here. I'm sure things like that happen to everybody. And I can tell you, for one thing, the burn gun does work, okay? Those pellets do work. I just want to tell you that. And milk does work. It took it off, thank the Lord. After a few minutes, I was like, And what had happened is this. It's what happened. I had neglected my gun in my man pouch inside the car in the Florida heat for many weeks. Okay? Because I carry it wherever I go. Because not every confrontation is going to require a lethal weapon. And so I have this non-lethal, and I had left it in my car for weeks on end, not even remembering where it was. And the integrity of those little pellets broke down. And I tell you this story to tell you this. We neglect our mates. We do. Days go by, and weeks go by of neglect without us understanding that it's hurting our relationship. And it's going to make it one day implode if we don't do something about it. I want you to write this down. Because Peter says this, as we men try to deal with our marriages, work, men, at understanding your wife. Work, because Peter wrote it, understand your wives, okay? You know, when my parents brought me to America, 1976, it was the first time ever I had seen a football game on Friday night, under Friday night lights. Those days were the days without cable. Puerto Rican TV was cheap. Didn't have football. So I went to this game, and it was nothing like football, which I was used to. It was American football. And I sat there wondering, why are they doing that? What do the yellow flags mean? Why are they going backwards instead of forwards? Why are they lining up the way they do? And you know what? I just couldn't understand the game. It's different than soccer. And so I began to ask questions, and I began to scratch the surface, and I began to read, and I began to figure out, okay, and people began to tell me, okay, this is why they do this, this is why they do that, okay? And so eventually, I understood. You know, we guys will read what interests us. Guys don't read a lot, most guys don't read a lot, but we'll read what we interest us. Some people like to read the stock market. Some people read on the latest fishing techniques. Some people love to read about cars. Some of us love to read about fantasy football. It's in the air. We like to read the things that we're interested in and understand them and learn it. Okay, so listen. God is telling us through Peter, men, study your wives. You've heard it said, who can understand a woman? A guy said that, I'm sure. Who can understand a woman? Well, I understand. Women can be irritable. I'm sorry, I'm just saying. I mean, guys can be irritable too, but women can be irritable. They can be emotional. Can be moody. They can be passive aggressive. And God made them with a whole bunch of hormones that we don't understand. We guys, we see our wives and we're like, ay caramba. But here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. Okay? I want you to write this down because this is truth. This is truth. Wives are unhappy when husbands are falling short and what it means to be a husband. Wives are usually unhappy when men fall short on what it means to be a husband. So men, study your wives. Learn how to deal with them, how to honor them, how to submit to them, how to bless them. That's what God is saying to you, saying to me. for your notes. Make your primary job, write the words primary job. Men, make your primary job to bless your wife and make her happy. The wise man wrote this. The man who finds a wife finds a treasure. Amen. And he receives favor from the Lord. One more thing before we close this out. One more thing that Peter wrote, okay? And by the way, before we get there, by the way, I think this works. Do the things you did at first. If your marriage is stale, your relationship is stale, do the things you did at first, the things that attracted you to each other, okay? Then let's go to verse 7. Peter says, men, husbands, treat her, your wife, as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. There are Christian men who may pray and they feel like their prayers are not even reaching the ceiling. And it may be that God has just cut them off. Because what it says here, hindered, that word hindered, means to put a roadblock. And what God is saying, I'm going to put a roadblock to your prayers if you are ungodly and don't treat your wife with honor and submissiveness. That's what God's saying. I didn't say that. God said it. He said, hey, listen, treat her as you should so your prayers are not blocked. And actually, the word hinder means to be cut off. This is serious business here. In my estimation, for your notes, the biggest responsibility a man has is to be the spiritual leader of his home. Amen? The biggest responsibility a man has is to be the spiritual leader of his home. That means that he says, hey, we need to seek the Lord on this one, to his wife. That means that he says, we ought to pray together on this one. It is he who says, let's go to church. God wants us men to pray for our wives, to pray for our children. And a lot of men say, well, I don't know how to pray. Pray anyway. Be the man God wants you to be, man. Be godly. Be a man of God. It's not hard. You know, Oswald Chambers said this. This is great. Oswald Chambers said, it is inbred in us that we have to do exceptional things for God, but we don't have to. He said, we have to be exceptional in the ordinary things. Let's be exceptional men for God. Whatever that means to you, whatever that takes, check out what God says in the book. Follow it. I tell couples when I marry them, I think I say this to pretty much every couple when I marry them. God made marriage to work. Make it work. Wives being submissive to their husbands, husbands being submissive to their wives, and it's just that kind of partnership and that kind of teamwork. Close with this. I think I shared this with you one time. There was a guy by the name of Jimmy Durante. Anybody here remembers Jimmy Durante? Jimmy Durante is a comedian of another time. Great comedian. And he used to go around doing shows, and he was asked to do a show one time for veterans or people who were at war or after the World War II, I'm sorry. They were veterans after World War II, according to the story. But Jimmy Durante was so busy, he agreed because he loved the troops and he loved America, and he wanted to make people laugh who had gone through very difficult times in their lives. And so he agreed, and he said, I'll do a show, but I'm going to keep it really short because I got to go. And we went to the show. He did a full-blown show and didn't stop for a long time. And it was a great blessing to everybody who heard him. And he was asked, why did you keep it going? Your schedule is so busy. He said, because I saw two veterans sitting in the front row. He said, one man had lost his left arm in the war. And the one sitting next to him had lost his right arm in the war. And when they started clapping, they would use each other's hands to clap. He said, when I saw that, I said, I got to give my best to these people. They made it work. Those two made it work. So my challenge to you, something to hold on to, make it work. The way God said, make it work. Amen? That's what God wanted me to say. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, God. We don't have it all together. We need you. We men need you. We ladies need you. We young people, we need you. We seniors, we need you. And Father, first and foremost, I ask you on behalf of all these people that are listening and the people who are sitting there, wherever they are listening to this on Facebook or YouTube, Lord, help us first of all submit ourselves to your Lordship right now. You are the master. You have a plan. That's perfect. And we yield ourselves to what you want right now. As everybody's praying, listen, everybody's praying. Every head is bowed. If you're not a born-again child of God, what God wants is for you to trust him by faith, trust Jesus by faith. That's why he sent his son into the world to die. So if you've never asked Jesus in your heart, I'm going to ask you to do something like this right now. Just quietly, wherever you're sitting down, and wherever you're watching me, just do something like this right now. Father, thank you for Jesus. He went to the cross, and he died for me. Thank you. I'm sorry for my sins, God. Please forgive me. I believe with all my heart right now that Jesus is Lord and that he was raised from the dead. And I give my life to Jesus right now. Help me live for you, God. Thank you. Every head bowed and every eye closed and nobody looking around. If somebody here, if you say, man, I just prayed that prayer for the first time. I've never given my heart to Jesus or been born again. But I did pray this morning. Will you raise your hand? Anybody here say, I just prayed that prayer. First time ever. Anyone here? Anyone here? Okay. All right. Maybe you just prayed that prayer first time you're watching me. I want to tell you a miracle has happened. If you ask Jesus in your heart, he begins to live in your heart from now on. He'll be there forever. Father, help us not just submit ourselves to you, but submit ourselves to those we're connected to in marriage, in a relationship. Help us just yield ourselves to them so that their needs be met and that they be the most fortunate, happiest people on this planet. Give us creative ways, God. Help us figure out how to meet needs and how to bless people that we love so that our marriages may get stronger. Father, thank you for these incredible people who are here. I pray you pour your goodness, your mercy, your compassion, your grace on them and take care of them, their needs, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Hey, thank you so much for spending time looking at the Bible and writing your notes and